Hey loves, like you, I desire an abundant life and its lifestyle, and to continue to show up as my best version of self, where we win in life to reclaim, rediscover, redesign an authentic and genuine self. And yes, this is intimacy on a whole new level. Welcome. Join us at claritywithsue.com. Again, that's claritywithsue.com. Welcome to the good life. Welcome aboard Pacific Northwest. My goodness. You know, Benny, there is nothing like the Pacific Northwest in summer.
No, not right now. Everyone's like basically sweating their bejesus off. That's all I got.
Well, coming.
That's all I got.
It's hot, right?
I mean, for us, yeah. Sure.
It's very hot, yeah. Right?
Anything.
I've been in Arizona, and it's been 117.
Yeah.
So guys at 90 and 100, I'm like, well, that's cool.
Well, yeah, so to speak. But I mean, we're such fair-weathered fans up here, yeah, for this kind of stuff. And, you know, it like goes 1 degree over and we just all panic. And then, right, there's a snowflake on the ground and we all panic.
Yes.
It's
but
unreal.
It's beautiful.
It
How
is.
Are you and the boys? School
we're good.
Started now,
we're
right?
Good. No, not yet. We're later in the year. We're a little bit after Labor Day this year.
Oh, that's right. Yep. That's right.
We are preparing this weekend for a camping trip. Should be pretty fun. Yep. We're going down to Matlock. It's down like southwest, like off of Olympia area. We do it every year with the families. Yeah, we have some friends with, they have their own little like plot land, you know, like an area. And they just invite people
nice.
Down. Everyone says, you know, come down and visit, leave whatever you bring back and take whatever you leave, you know, type of thing. So
yeah.
Yep.
Oh, I love it. Mm-hmm. Nice. Well, welcome aboard, everybody.
Yeah.
And thank you, Benny. Good morning. This is Sue, Clarity with Sue. It's an inside job. We are getting tapped in and we are getting turned on. It's new perspective, new thoughts, new ideas. Yeah, it's you. It's just a 2.0 and it could be a 2.5, whatever that is. Just keep searching, keep investigating, keep wanting to create that feeling of joy and abundance on the inside and the outside, of course. So today's a little bit about the awareness practice, and it's an inside job awareness practice because it's an awareness practice, and I want all of us to be reminded to stay in a state of awareness versus checking out versus complacency. We're going to have this conversation today, and also with my guest, Nicole. But today we are talking about hope versus complacency. I want you guys to have an awareness in your life and its lifestyle of where hope is showing up or it's lacking. Now, let me give you the dictionary version. A feeling of expectation, a desire for certain things to happen. So look at that contrast. Where is it happening and where is it not happening? How would you like to have that change? Now, with hope, there's also a contrast with complacency. Complacency, pleased with self, kind of that smug, I got this handled kind of attitude, that they don't really feel anything about, air quotes, the situation, even when said situation is very uncertain. It could be very unhealthy. It could be very dangerous. It's complacency that you think that you've got it all under control, right? And have this kind of smug attitude towards it. I want you to just have an awareness practice of where you are complacent in your life, your lifestyle, relationship, business, where you're working, all of this. So again, let's have an awareness practice regarding hope, that desire, that what's firing you up, that expectation of goodness and juiciness, as I like to say. And then also looking at that contrast of where it is and where it's not. Same with complacency. And really look at, am I being complacent? Am I not, really just have an awareness is basically all I'm asking you guys to do. Okay. With that, we are going to go into our show today. I'm excited. We are going to have Nicole reached out to me a few weeks ago and I really love what she's teaching. I mean, her superpower and what we're talking about today. Let me give you her formal bio. It's Nicole Baker Holman. It's a coach, podcaster, and international speaker who helps high achievers ditch perfectionism. Cut out the hustle culture. You know, you're hustling 24/7. You hear that bzz, 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 and start achieving their goals with fun, fulfillment. Do you guys hear that? Fun and fulfillment. There's a really good awareness practice for you right now. You hear me read the bio. I almost said Bible. It could be her Bible, but Nicole, I want you to look at that awareness practice and where in your life are you fulfilled and having fun and that true joy? And is perfectionism or complacency getting in the way of that? And we're going to have that conversation today and a whole lot of free time. Having grown up in a family immersed in the personal development world, she has been attending seminars and absorbing personal growth tools her whole life. And she has since helped thousands of perfectionists accomplish goals ranging from scaling to six figures, cutting their work time in half, and starting new healthy habits. We can all do that, right? She's the CEO of Life Coach Baker and the host of the top 2.5% globally ranked podcast, Imperfect Success. Welcome, darling.
I want everyone nowadays to just like bum 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 as they come in the room. That sounds awesome.
Well, welcome. Thank you so much for joining us. Really good conversation here. Of course, I do the formal bio. Audience knows this. Let's get to know you. Let's feel your energy and have a conversation about, yeah, granted, you've grown up, which, by the way, is a huge gift. Thank you to the parents that are providing that atmosphere for you. How amazing was that? We'll talk about that. And then I want to know, because personal development is a huge umbrella, and why it brought you to the perfectionism, that type of coaching, that type of mentorship. And then we've got some questions. So I'm going to let you noodle and chat for a bit, girl.
I will happily noodle and chat. So it was a huge gift. I'm going to be straight up honest. Like, it was such a wonderful way to grow up, listening to audio tapes, attending the seminars. Both my parents worked for like people like Tony Robbins, for example, for many, many years. And so we'd go to these seminars and see people having these like moments of I'm not enough to I am enough, to put a huge blanket statement on it. And as you know, a little like 2 to 5 year old, I'd like walk around and just, I felt like I owned these seminars. I'd walk around with such swagger, you know, like.
I feel like you were the girl on the sink. I am amazing. I am awesome. Right?
You were actually not far off. I'm very not far off. And I just fell in love with it. However, life kind of took a turn when I was in like early to late elementary school, when I started becoming, I hate the word victim here, but I'm going to say it for lack of a better one, victim of severe bullying. And it got to the point where I was, you know, shoved into bathrooms. I was called names that I would never say to another human soul on this planet. And something clicked one day when I was shoved into this bathroom. And it was like, if I am not perfect, if I am not what everyone else needs me to be, quiet, if I'm not, obedient, if I'm not someone who is always agreeing with others, always putting others, kind of that people pleaser style of it, then I'm not enough. I'm going to continue getting hurt physically and mentally. And I don't think I don't even know how old I was, maybe 10 year old self knew I was consciously locking in this belief, but something locked into place that day. And perfectionism really ran my life for a good solid 10, maybe even plus years. And it wasn't until I started finding outlets like musical theater. I was a huge musical theater kid in high school. And that was like my, oh my God, I can be big. I can have a voice. I can. And, but the like little cheat around my little belief that I had in my head was, oh, well, it's not me. It's the character. So I could, you know, shine on stage, but I'd go off stage and go immediately silent. And that, there was still that high achiever in me, you know, growing up with Tony Robbins, growing up with that kind of stuff. It was always like, what's the next goal? What's the next goal? And I ended up going to one of the top musical theater colleges in America. It was an amazing experience. However, perfectionism started taking over so much to the point where I was having like almost daily panic attacks. I was so anxious and wrung like nobody's business. I was drinking myself to blackout almost every weekend just to numb that anxiety. And it finally just hit the point where my professor had to sit me down and say, "You're not going to graduate. Full stop." Like, this whole dream of yours is being pulled out from under you unless you make a change right now. So I called my dad and I was like, I need life coach Baker. I need my dad. I need coach to just like come in here and just absolutely, you know, help me out. And so what changed here is he started coaching me, but I started implementing all the things I learned from childhood. I hadn't done that previously. I just knew them. But I started implementing them. And long story short, I not only graduated, but I started realizing, oh my goodness, how much our brain, the way we talk to ourselves, the things we focus on, the questions we ask ourselves, how we hold our posture and our body, you know, power posing, so on and so forth, is so vital to the outcome of our goals. And I was like, okay, I'm sold. Bye-bye, Broadway. I don't need you anymore. This is it. This is what I need. And I started diving into coaching, originally coaching performers, but then I realized the perfectionist mindset was really where I succeeded and where I cut through to people. So I started pivoting more towards perfectionists. And now here we are 5 years later, and I can't imagine doing anything else. I'll be honest. It's the best job, and I'm a very biased person saying that.
Girl, you can shine all you want. Have at it. Yes. Okay, well, let's unpack the definition of perfectionism, please. Mm-hmm. And boy, does it resonate, not only with me, but I know for the audience, when you say, I had to show up different than myself because of external environments, regardless of work, school, bullying, whatever that is, your skin color. It's a huge conversation. I mean, we can go deep for that. What I'd like to do is have that conversation of how can we help the audience bring an awareness to them of how that's showing up in their life, and good, bad, or indifferent, right? It's a contrast. You're going to learn either way in my language and how I show up. You're going to learn either way. However, for an adjective to describe, we've got to really give them a contrast. So if they are numbing out, if they are in denial, let's give them some pearls that they can take away and go, that squeaky wheel, right?
I love this. And I want to first and foremost address what we all think perfectionism is.
Yes.
And why that's not actually the case. For a long time, whenever I'd hear someone say like, oh, well, I'm not a perfectionist. Like, that's just not who I am. I'd be like, okay, well, what is your definition of perfectionism? And they say someone whose house is immaculate. They have to-do lists that are like dissertation gorgeousness. They have their stuff together in every which way. They're very type A, lack for a better word. And I'd say, yeah, that's definitely a branch. That's definitely a branch of perfectionism. However, I've talked to people who have disarray galore, who are procrastinating on goals times a million, who don't even have to-do lists. It's just all swirling around in their brain. And they're still perfectionists. So the way I define perfectionism is having a certain outcome expectation. So normally I'll talk to people and they'll be like, oh, well, you know, I have to be the best in the world at what I do. I hear that a lot. I also hear like, I need to accomplish this 5-year goal in the next 5 days. It's having this astronomical expectation of yourself. And if you fall short, now, whether that's you don't even try or you try your hardest and you get to 199% out of 100, you're a failure. And this mental beat down that we give ourselves and trying to push ourselves further by self-loathing or always looking at what we're lacking rather than, oh my gosh, I'm so enough. Let me become even more. Let me learn more. Let me enjoy more. Let me, you know, get further in my journey. But it's always from this place of I'm not enough yet. That thing's going to make me enough. So I have to go after it with all abandon. So that's where I really lean into perfectionism is from that more, I'm going to call it the high achiever side of perfectionism. That's always saying, what's my next goal? What's my next goal? What's my next goal? Oh, I'm going to accomplish it. I'm going to celebrate myself for maybe 6 minutes, but then I'm going to move on to the next one because that's what's going to finally make me happy. something's clicking for you, Sue. I'm so curious.
Well, yeah, no, I love how you've broken it down, because perfectionism in my context, in my brain, which you've shifted, thank you very much. And I believe that the audience has as well, is I got all my shiitake together. Everything's perfect. I'm living in that glass house though. Right?
Yeah. Oh, I love that. I love how you said that. Yes, that's exactly it. The way I also hear it phrased is, it's Pandora's box. They don't want to open Pandora's box. But Brené Brown said it perfectly.
I love Brené.
You think you're living outside of that box? Mm-mm. You're living in that box. Oh, you're just swirling around with all that. Yes, right? She always gives me goosebumps. Yeah. But it's you're always living in that Pandora's box. You're always living in the swirls and whirls of I'm not enough. No matter what I do, I'll never get further ahead. I'm always behind. So on and so forth is better than me. They're more successful than me. It's always this comparison, this looking at lack. And when you finally break open Pandora's box, don't get me wrong, it explodes for a minute. I don't think that there's a single person who's recovered from perfectionism who did not have to crawl through the mud, myself included. But the way out of the mud and the grass that you get to is so beautifully green, and it's worth that mud.
We gotta put a pin in that, because somebody is crossing their bridge right now.
Yeah.
I call it crossing the bridge of initiation. Your bridge could be anything. You're initiating yourself, right? And on the other side of that, with that bridge, and it's a great analogy for your brain to kind of really take a hold of, there's fear, there's resentment, there's doubt, there's all of that bridge of initiation, that contrast that you're going to have to walk through. Let's have a conversation to those that are right in the middle of that fear and that massive doubt of that uncertainty that's on the other side, because their nervous system and their life before that was certain, even though it may suck, was certain for their nervous system, right? So how do we, as our listeners, our people that are listening to this, they're crossing that bridge and they're completely uncertain, having the meltdowns and the anxiety. And how can we lean into that? I mean, obviously breath work and stuff like that, but let's have that conversation so we can help them have an awareness and also to understand that they're not alone in this journey, right?
Yeah. I'm going to give two broader options, and then I want to go deep in each of them.
Okay.
The first one is going to be more tactical based. You do not have to walk this bridge alone. In fact, please don't. Because your brain is wired in this way that it is going to do whatever it takes to keep you on said bridge. Because in its opinion, because you've lived on said bridge for so long, you've lived in the self-hatred, you've lived in the beating yourself up, the comparison, the imposter syndrome, you've lived in that so long that our brain, once we've lived in something so long, even if it's not fun at all, our brain finds it as comfortable because it sees us living every single day and keeping ourselves alive, maybe not thriving by any means, but our brain is always, always, always trying to keep us alive. So when it sees, okay, I know that if, Sue beats herself up every single night for not getting her entire to-do list done, and she's always looking at what she hasn't accomplished yet, and she's always looking at that one person who's traveling to Italy and saying, oh my God, I just want to go on vacation, but that keeps you safe. You're not going to want to get out of your comfort zone unless you have someone calling out those patterns that we are literally blinded to. So what does this look like? Therapy. I'm a huge, huge believer in therapy. Yep. I'm a big believer in coaching. I believe that those two things in tandem work like bread and butter. I think that they work fantastically. If that's not in your wheelhouse right now, whether it's financially or time commitment, books, podcasts, radio stations, just like this, you're doing the work right now, whether you believe it or not, by getting out of that comfort zone and leaning into a new way of thinking just by listening to something else that's not your own thoughts in your head, not the thoughts on the bridge. Ugh. So, it can be as free as going to the library and picking up a personal development book. There's so many. I actually have an entire free resource of just books on books, books on books. Yes, if you want it, DM me on Instagram. I'm @LifeCoachBaker. I'm happy to send it your way. But that is huge when it comes to getting out of your own head, out of your comfort zone, in a way that then stretches you into a new way of thinking. It breaks up those old neural pathways that have been ingrained on that bridge, and it slowly puts one foot in front of the other. So that's my big, like, I would just neon sign Las Vegas on the strip, just get you in that lane is where I would head. And I think this works in tandem. There's something in our brain called the reticular activating system. You're nodding. I'm assuming you know what this is.
Yes. Go ahead.
I'll do a quick reader's digest for listeners who don't know what it is. So the reticular activating system is this big old filter that lives in the front of our brain. We're at any given moment taking in around 80 million bits of information, from the blood pumping through my left ear to, you know, Sue's eyelashes batting with her beautiful, beautiful eyes, to, you know, the wind outside, to anything that's happening. And if we were consciously aware of all of these 80 million things, we would not be okay. We'd be in the fetal position on the ground saying a little prayer. Like, it would not be a fun time.
This is too much. So,
we'd be like definition overwhelmed. So we have this reticular activating system to basically say, the big, big, big filter in front of our brain to say, what's important to Nicole? Is it focusing on all the things that she's lacking? Great. I'm going to filter those things through. Putting it like this, let's do a pretty everyday example. I want everyone listening to think of the last time that they bought or rented or whatever a car. And the day you decided what car you wanted. So here's my personal take. My husband and I, we just got a car not too long ago. And originally we were looking at getting a Subaru Crosstrek that was like bright orange, like annoyingly orange. And prior to making this decision, we had ended up going with a very different car, but that was like our dream car for a while. And we called it the Mimosa Mobile as we were like manifesting it.
It's oh, whole thing. I love it.
Oh my gosh. But so as we were driving down the lanes in the on the highway, you know, we're here in Denver. Everyone has a Subaru of some sort. We, before making that decision that that's the car we wanted, we would never see orange Crosstreks. And they're bright orange. Like, you'd think we'd see them, but we would never see them. The day we made the decision of like, oh, that's a car we'd be interested in. Orange Crosstrek, right there. I mean, we counted like 15 to 17 on one drive one time, and it was not a long drive. So that is our reticular activating system saying, okay, this isn't important to Nicole and Brett. We don't need to do this. The day it's important to us, here you go. But it's doing the same thing with our thoughts and our beliefs, both limiting and empowering. So when we are in the deep, deep, deepness of perfectionism. So, you know, you're on that bridge. You're always looking, not always, but I'll say 99% of the time, we're looking at the lack, and our reticular activating system continues to show us the lack.
Yep.
So it's all about making that shift to what's going right today. What am I grateful for today? What did I do today? One of my favorite exercises, and I challenge everyone to do this, is at the end of the night, I had a little piece of paper like next to my bed. And I would just write down three things that I did do that day. And I'd always make sure one of them was minuscule. Like, I made my bed, something like that.
Yep.
And what that started training my brain to do is, as I went throughout my day, I'd focus on the things I did accomplish rather than all the things I hadn't accomplished yet. So that's the reticular activating system at work.
I love it. Great explanation. And audience, I'm going to recap. So essentially, it's what you're focusing on. So if it's going to focus on the negative, you're going to focus on the positive. And this isn't the Pollyanna positive, guys. This is you getting dirty and doing the work and having that conversation with yourself. And the external world, reticular activating.
RAS, we'll call it the RAS.
Is going to show you, your external environment is going to provide that validation that, oh yeah, I can bring that up to you. So if it's sad, you want more sad, we're going to give you that. You want more fear, we're going to give you more of that. You can get that all over. Now, the contrast to that is you want more joy. You want more fulfillment. You want more abundance. That's what you want to focus on, right? Yes. Okay. With that, my darling, we are going to go to a quick commercial break. And I'm going to have to clear my throat. So bear with me for just a minute and join us on YouTube. And we will be back in just a couple of minutes. Thank you. Hi guys, Sue here with Clarity with Sue, claritywithsue.com. 15 years in radio, solid reputation, and conscious collaboration mindset. I am looking for an aligned sponsorship and partnership. This is conscious collaboration within the mind, body, spirit, organics, and fitness arena. Let's talk about spreading your message and your product to the masses. Email me at sue@claritywithsue.com. That's sue@claritywithsue.com.
Have something important to say? Want to help improve our world? Need to promote your business uniquely and effectively? KKNW is the answer. Our staff helps broadcasters and podcasters create professional-sounding audio. Bring your talent and let our experts help you craft a radio show or podcast that best delivers your message. Learn more at 1150kknw.com. That's 1150kknw.com. KKNW, talk variety that's live and local.
Everyone has a community, a neighborhood, school, kids' teams, where you worship, work, work out, or any other place or group where you choose to belong. Communities can provide support when you need it, and even when you don't know you do. Like when it comes to preventing underage drinking and other substance use, community members can be your eyes and ears when you're not with your kids and alert you to signs of potential problems.
Hey guys, Sue here with Clarity with Sue. I have got a question for you. Does turnover happen in your company? Is morale really low because of what's happening in our economy and in the world? Are you experiencing small T traumas within your organization that's affecting your bottom line, that's affecting massive turnover? Well, what we do know that low morale causes employees to have a loss of interest. It's like 65% of employees do not feel appreciated. So how about this? How about a solution? In 90 minutes, go from checked out to tapped in. Set your team apart from others and create a culture to be proud of. Help your team find that purpose again. That's what I do. I'm going to help you do that. In 90 minutes, go from checked out to tapped in. Send me an email, sue@claritywithsue.com. That's sue@claritywithsue.com.
Find out the latest about your favorite shows on Alternative Talk 1150. Check out 1150kknw.com.
I almost said, we are the chariots. No, Benny,
champions.
That's not what I
champions.
Was trying to say.
If you want to ride a chariot, if you want to ride a chariot and be a champion, sure.
We are the champions.
Sorry, Nicole. She's kind of doing her thing right now.
No, I love this. This is the Tuesday energy I needed.
Yes. It's the morning energy. Awareness. Checking in or checking out. Are you tapped in and turned on to life? I know I am. That's why I'm here. That's why I have this platform. That's why I've been doing radio for 15 years. I want to have the tips and the tools to provide an abundant life. First and foremost, what does abundant mean to you? Abundance, abundant. We have been talking to a wonderful little Nicole here. Well, not little, but quite grand Nicole. And I say your name and I do. I have that little girl on the bathroom counter. Just her, I am amazing.
I love my house.
I totally see that from you. That's your energy. And I absolutely love it. We have been talking about a new definition, a revised definition of perfectionism. And it's been a great conversation. And it's been a new perspective. It's a new thought. Mm-hmm. And it's a new idea for me, which is perfect. It's that squeaky wheel, right? How does it show up in high achievers? And we kind of alluded to that before at the top of the hour, but let's swing in. We gave some tips and tools. So if you missed that, make sure you guys can go back. If you have any questions, you can post them on YouTube as well. And Benny will read them, before or after. Typically we're do it during the live show so we can answer your question. That would be ideal, right? Perfectionism showing up in a high achiever. We alluded and we had that conversation. And then during the break, my brain's gone to what we're going to. So what were we talking about during the break? It was brilliant.
You're talking about all or nothing.
All acceptance. Or nothing. Yeah. That, and I say all or nothing. I think this is a really, not I think, I know it is a very important conversation because I know I haven't been an all or nothing. Pre-programmed, whatever it is, it's either you're all or you're not. And it took some reprogramming and some breathing and some meditation and some working out. And you don't have to do all that. And also, is it true? Check in. Is it even something you want to do? Is it fulfilling your work?
I think that this shows up so often in, like, you know, the goal getters. And I'm going to put high achievers. I'm also going to put people who tend to have a pattern of procrastination, especially when it comes to perfectionism. Goal getters, you are absolutely in this category. But what I see often is people who, you know, have these big aspirations, they almost view that aspiration level, maybe it's starting your own business, hitting a certain income, being in a relationship, travel, I mean, the list goes on and on, running a marathon, as level 100. And let's say I'm here at level zero, and perfectionists tend to think, okay, how do I drop just straight in at level 100? Forget about steps 1 through 99. Those don't exist.
We're going
That's
in.
Not good enough. I need to be right at level 100. And so this creates like this level of absolute like house fire, a level urgency that you have to get it all done. And this can either lead to immense amounts of burnout because you're just flooring it on the gas, or it can lead to overwhelm and procrastination as a result. Oh my gosh, that's so many things I could do. Oh God, you know what's more important? Scrolling through social media. I can do that. That's really easy. It's safe, right?
Yeah.
So instead, that's very all or nothing thinking. So what I like to do with clients, people in my community, my podcast listeners, is say, okay, level 100, that's where we're going. What's step one to get there? And I want to just focus on step one for a minute. But what this does is it creates 99 mini goals that are much more easy achieved. And also, you start to celebrate the journey, the growth, that compound interest almost of goal getting, instead of just end result or nothing at all.
And there's that confidence, right? You're building that confidence within yourself. And it's micro steps, guys. It's micro steps. And some people, it could just be getting out of bed.
Yes.
It could just be getting out of bed. And you know what? You be thankful for that. Yeah.
Retweet. Absolutely.
Retweet. Done.
Retweet.
I don't know what that sound was, but.
Amazing.
Amazing. Negatives. We got to have the awareness. I call it a contrast. It's good, bad, or indifferent for me. It's just a learning experience. Again, we have to have an adjective to describe. So you have a positive aspect, you have the negative aspect. We talked about the RAS, and what you focus on is going to appear in your external world. It just is. It's scientifically proven. It is there. So if fear and anxiety keep showing up, if you keep watching the news, if you keep doing all of that, that's going to perpetuate. I got my own words.
The Sue dictionary. She's on the play today.
The Sue isms. And it is. It's going to keep showing up in your life. I don't watch TV. I don't watch the news. If I'm watching TV, it's a movie or something. And I'm very selective of what I watch. And it's because it's ingraining in your body, your cells, your brain, your mindset, all of that. And of course, you can, and we can get into the neurology and the your body, then there's chemical releases that you are addicted to because that fear, you knew it, and there's this chemical release and all of that stuff. Swinging back around, I kind of noodled off there, but having that conversation around the contrast of the negative versus the positive, if we could.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to start with the positives because we can, you know, get really, really in on the negatives pretty quickly with perfectionism, but there are definitely positives. And I think the biggest thing is those high standards that perfectionists put on themselves, they're most likely the reason that they're at the level of success that they are currently at. You know, I mean, people who are just like mega successful by, like, you know, our cultural definition of it, tend to have a lot of perfectionist tendencies. I listen to a lot of, Silicon Valley CEOs, a lot of angel investor podcasts or stuff like that, because it's just fascinating to me. Yep. But a lot of them talk about perfectionism and their struggles with it. But it's the reason that they're at where they're at. They dream big. They say, how can I go further? How can I get there faster? You know, they tend to lean into more of what's the, you know, path of least resistance so I can get there quicker. And I think that sometimes that's for perfectionists, sometimes not. That's a whole other episode. But that right there is the number one benefit, in my opinion. I think that also perfectionists tend to lean into a little bit more people-pleasing sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
So that sometimes, you know, the major benefit of that, in my opinion, is I'm going to get on a little soapbox for a second, but right now we need more people in this world who care deeply about making other people happy. And maybe it's with the rise of social media. Maybe it's with, you know, the news and a lot of the negative impact that that's having on our psyches. But in my opinion, that is so needed. Yep. So what better benefit from being a people-pleasing perfectionist? Now, I think that there's a way to be a people-pleasing perfectionist without putting someone else on this pedestal above yourselves.
Oh, yes.
And without, you know, that lack of trust that a lot of people pleasers tend to have in their own voice, their own opinions, their own ability to speak up and take up space. That is not part of this positives conversation. That's a whole other thing. And I think that those two things don't coexist. Those two things can coexist.
You have some suicides. I see it.
I was like, wait, that's all right. Those things can coexist. Like I can, you know, believe in myself, trust my own voice, know that I can speak up, you know that I can take up space and still deeply love and care for others. That is definitely a Venn diagram that overlaps, but I digress. Those are the two biggest benefactors of being a perfectionist, in my opinion. I'd love to hear your thoughts though.
Lots of thoughts. And especially I'm a recovering people pleaser and
you and me both.
Recovering people pleaser, codependency, mommy issues, daddy issues, yada, 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 all this stuff. And I say that because there's no real emotional charge. I mean, there's some things that are still chargeable. I love being of service. I love nurturing. It's one of my best attributes, who I am, to be of service and to have that service mindset and to have the, I know what people are feeling probably before they even do. And I don't want that to change. However, now I've learned self-love, self-control, and massive boundaries, and being able to speak my own truth, understanding what my truth is, because I've been pleasing, had been pleasing for so many years that I had no clue who I was. No clue. And then you add in hormones or adrenal failure because you're going and going and going, you know, this whole conversation, right? And it just, it's a spiral and you're trying to do everything that you can to stay above water and to keep people pleasing because that's your known and the environment around you is expecting that and you're exhausted. Yeah. So many people out there resonate with that, right?
Yeah, I'm raising my hand. I resonate with that.
Right.
I want to talk about that big SL word for a second, self-love.
Yeah.
Because I think that this has been a very thrown around word in the last few years. You know, people on, I'm pretty heavily involved on the Instagram and I see that all the time. Like, you just need self-love. That's it. Yeah. That's a cure all. And it's
Pollyanna.
Like,
Pollyanna. Like, no, it's not.
Exactly. It infuriates me to see that because it's
good.
Like,
good. Yeah, you're making some changes. Yeah,
exactly. And I want to talk about self-love for a second because there was a study done in the University of Hertfordshire. Oh, golly. Mid 2010s, I believe. And it was showing that they studied a very vast group of people on a vast different healthy habits. So, you know, exercise, meditation, reading, and self-acceptance. And what they found is that the number one, without a doubt, most beneficial habit was self-acceptance.
Radical self-acceptance.
The number one that people weren't doing, so the last one on the totem pole, basically, self-acceptance.
Check under the hood.
Yeah, exactly. So one of the things I hear so often is like, how do we accept ourselves? How do we start loving ourselves? And let me just go ahead and say, the work is never done. That is never done work. That is always in progress. But ways of doing that are, I mean, like I love, it's Mel Robbins who has people look in the mirror and literally just give themselves a high five. Yes, high five habit. Yeah. So I love that. And she had her husband actually on her podcast talk about his experience with that, because he at first was like, no, I'm not going to, how ridiculous. That is so stupid. Give yourself a high five. I'm going to have fingerprints on my mirror now. Do I just need to have a bottle of Windex next to the mirror? Like, you know, just like all of the like
critical
no's around. Exactly. Yep. And the first time he did it, he locked eyes with himself and he couldn't raise his hand to give himself a high five. And he started crying. And she asked him about it and his experience. And he was saying, I couldn't look myself in the mirror and say, good job. You're doing enough. You're doing a good thing. And eventually he did. It took a few tries. But we all need to do stuff like that. It doesn't need to be the high five habit, although I think it works pretty dang well.
Yeah.
We all need to start doing things that get us in that, oh my goodness, I am seeing myself. Not the mask, not the perfect barrier I've put in front of everyone that makes sure everyone else is taken care of, that makes sure everyone knows how busy I am all the time, whatever yours is. It's looking at yourself in the mirror and truly, truly seeing you. And that takes practice.
And getting clear. You first got to get clear. Well, it's the awareness that there's a contrast happening, right? And then getting really clear on who you are and how you want to show up in the world. Not based on external environments, not based on old programs, not based on the coach that ridiculed you, not based on the bullying, not based on the cowering and not shining, right? Yeah. Whatever those experience past, again, guys, you are reacting to a past experience. So again, going back to a tool of awareness and asking if it's really true. Is that really you? Is it really a part of you? Does it bring you joy? No, it doesn't. Let it go. Swipe left. I don't want that one.
one of my favorite quotes is, the past does not equal the present unless you live there. And I think that's Tony Robbins who says that. The past does not equal the present unless you live there. And I love this quote because our brain is programmed to say that happened then. Okay, it's going to happen again. It is that, like, from way, 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 way back when we'd, you know, venture out into the wild and we'd come across a saber-toothed tiger, we would never take that path again because our brain said that equaled danger. Yeah. So we're programmed to remember what feels dangerous, what feels safe. And as a result, here we are in the present moment saying, oh, that past experience that was, you know, maybe not great, but my brain remembers it because it was the saber-toothed tiger and I'm never going to go down again or whatever. Like, we are programmed to remember the negative stuff far more than the positives. This is actually called negativity bias if we're looking neurologically.
Yep.
And I always like to remind people this because so often we beat ourselves up for being, you know, in my world, I hear a lot of like, I'm a bad personal development student. And I'm like, no, your brain is just doing exactly what it's programmed to do, which is keep you safe by focusing on the negative stuff far more than the positive. And we have to take ownership and change our brain slowly but surely. It's like conditioning. It's like going to the gym. You have to go to the gym for your mental health every day to change the way your brain goes automatically to the negative to automatically to the positive. And that takes time.
Yep. Yeah. It's neural pathways. You've got to change those little neural pathways. Complacency. We talked about that. And at the top of the hour, I added another question. We've got a few more minutes.
Oh my gosh. Yes. You said something about, well, I know you're talking about hope versus complacency and surrender. That was it.
Excuse me. And so there is a conversation, and I think it's a, or I know it's a powerful conversation in that perfectionism. At what point do you surrender and say, okay, I have done enough. I am enough. I got to surrender. I got to leave it up to the powers that be, whatever that is, whatever that conversation is. At what point do I competently surrender? Because you've done the work, you're competent and you're confident that you have done what you feel that you can. And now you've got to surrender.
I think the most important thing, and I'm going to go this two ways. I'm going to go a more mindset way and then a very tactical way. The mindset way is we have to stop equating our worth to our work. I am not enough only when I've done a certain amount during the day. I haven't done enough at any point during the day when I hit like a marker. I am enough no matter who I am, no matter if I take the day off, no matter if I work my tush off for 6 hours a day. Like, I am enough at any given moment. And that's a hard pill to swallow. And there are some days that it's way easier to believe that than others. And I think that that's the number one most important thing. Now, me personally, I'm going to talk about this from now, a very tactical standpoint. I love productivity, and I'm not talking about productivity like, how do I hustle 24/7? Like, we've totally warped the word productivity and it drives me crazy. I'm talking about productivity in the like work less, achieve more blanket term. So I've been studying productivity for about 3 to 5 years. I think it's one of the most underrated topics of conversation that we can dive into at any given moment, but I think it's it's very important for perfectionists to learn productivity, because then you get away from that I have to do it all mindset, right? So one of the things that I practice weekly is the 80-20 rule. So this is how I figure out, okay, how have I done, you know, a good job today? How have I done a good job of moving myself towards my goals today? This is because I've already done the I believe I'm enough at my core work. So keep that in mind. Hey,
I got a question really quick. Please. With that, because this is what's coming up for me. You're in the muck of it. You're in that productivity and you are just, this just doesn't align with me anymore. At one point, because I know this for myself, excuse me, I had to come to the realization. I'm like, this is not fulfilling.
Yeah.
This isn't me.
Stop working.
All of it, whatever that hustle is in your umbrella of life, work, profession, whatever that perfectionism is. And you're all there. And I say this because I'm speaking from experience. It was all of a sudden I'm like, I'm in the middle going, holy shiitake mushroom. I don't want this. I don't want this. So that hustle, that moment where you're like, oh, that's why it's not fulfilling. That's why I'm not as productive, because I truly don't want it. So giving yourself permission to say, yeah, nope, I got to let it go. And
give yourself permission to quit, to not do it all. You know, like if I'm going out into a field and in front of me are 45 cats, right? And stick with me on this weird analogy that I'm going on for a second. If my one mission in life is I have to herd all 45 of those cats and put them somewhere nice and safe where they're able to play in a little kitten box, whatever, I am not going to go out into that field, arms outstretched, and try to scoop up all 45 of those cats at once. But so many of us are approaching goals, approaching our to-do list, approaching our days, our schedules, our families, our friends, our whatever, by trying to do all 45 things at any given moment. We are not built that way. There's this whole like, oh, multitasking is, you know, attractive. It's this like really shiny orb. Multitasking doesn't exist. It is not a thing in our brain. It is literally your brain just focusing, like rapid switching focus, which is actually draining your brain's storage of glucose, which is our main power of energy in our brain. That's why we end the days being like, oh my God, I feel like I did nothing all day. Even though you were constantly multitasking, always doing something with the urgency of a house fire, you're like, multitasking does not exist. In my opinion, getting all in on one cat, going back to that analogy, going all in on one cat, fixing your eyes and saying, you, mister, are my goal for the day. And somehow finding a way to, you know, get it all scooped up, put it somewhere nice and safe, and then move on to the next one. That's what this is about. And I say this to perfectionists and they freak out because they're like, but five of those cats must happen right now.
Yes.
Great. Pick your five, number them 1 through 5 and do them in that order. Because right now you trying to do them all at once is not working.
No. No, it's not.
Mm-mm.
Mm. Sit with that, audience.
Yeah.
Sit with that. Really sit with that because it's not working. And what's, maybe it's Brene Brown, maybe it's Oprah, maybe it's Tony. Well, how is that working for you?
Yeah.
It's not.
It's not. I love the quote, if what you're doing isn't working, stop doing it harder.
Oh, say that
Marie
again.
Marie Forleo, ladies and gentlemen. if what you're doing isn't working, stop doing it harder. But perfectionists so often are terrified of switching tactics because, you know, normally
I gave up. Perfectionists, I quit.
It's complacency. It's that fear of I'm becoming complacent if I give up. I have to keep going, push harder, do whatever it takes. And it's like, do you? Is this bringing you joy? Do we need to lessen it 50%? Will that bring you more joy because you're able to be a human being outside of your like work life? That's important.
We got to swing back around to that. Okay. And you dive into fulfillment. I mean, that's what this conversation's about is perfectionism and creating an environment for your, not only your audience in the podcast, but also the people that you are coaching and mentoring and providing that space where they can say, you know what? It's not working for me anymore.
Yeah.
And I love the, and it's a blanket term, but it's a powerful term of permission. And it doesn't matter if you're 22, 24, 28, 55, 60, if it's not working, change.
Yeah.
Just change.
I love like always saying what's a 2-degree pivot to the left? It doesn't have to, because again,
micro
going
steps,
all or nothing.
Micro
steps. It doesn't have to be, I need to, you know, I hear this one a lot recently is, I just feel like I need to pick up and move to Bali and never speak to anyone and go off the grid and become a like monk or go, you know, farm goats for the rest of my life. And I'm like, okay, that's fine if that's what you truly want. But right now, just because you're burned out doesn't mean you need to go off the grid in Bali. Yes. Like, let's try something else. And sometimes it's, okay, how can we finish work an hour earlier a day for you? That alone is powerful. I always, always, always say, you're not striving for a new level to check something off a box to be like, okay, that's done. Let me go to the next one. Okay, that's it. You're striving for a new level to become a type of person. That person does not suddenly like magically appear when you hit that level. You build up to that person, but you need to start focusing on the person far more than the acolyte or the achievement, because the person, that's where the fulfillment comes in.
Yes. 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 And yes. Yeah. What a great conversation. It's already wrapping up. I think we could go for another hour, couldn't we?
No, seriously.
It's so good. It's so good. How do people get a hold of you, love?
I am everywhere at Life Coach Baker. If you go to lifecoachbaker.com, that's my website. Life Coach Baker on Instagram is where I'm most
active.
Thank you. That's the word I was looking for. And then like you mentioned at the top of the episode, I have a top 2.5% globally ranked show called Imperfect Success. We dive into topics just like all of these every single week on Tuesdays.
I love that. Tuesday. So what time? It's the same day.
It is the same day. We had an episode drop this morning about actually, ironically, speaking of productivity, 3 productivity tools that will change your life. So if you want to dive into that, episode is officially live.
Yay. And they can find you at lifecoachbaker.com. And it's not spelled any different. I'm just going to spell it out. LIFE coach, COACH, Baker, BAKER.com.
Nailed it.
Nailed it. My darling. Rock star. And you know what, Nicole, I'm seeing you. You're that girl on the bathroom counter. I love my house. I love you. That's you.
I so wish desperately we had video footage of some sort of that from my childhood, but I don't think that exists. But man, oh man, I might ask my parents just to make sure.
Oh, I bet you. I that's all you. That is all you. Well, thank you. Thank you very much. And it's a Brené thing, you know, stepping in the rink. Stepping in the rink.
Yeah.
Shining your light. Crossing your bridge of initiation and being that shining light and that example to so many other people. So thank you. And thank you very much for coming on the radio show here and educating my audience and myself as well. I love this conversation, and it's an evolution, and it's always growing. And I'm very thankful for our time today. So thank you very much.
Likewise, Sue. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. All right, Benny, we are going to wrap it up. You guys, you know where to get a hold of me. Go to claritywithsue.com. You know all the Instas and the stuff. You know where to find me. We'll make sure all this information is up on YouTube within the next 24 hours. So go and check it out. If you got questions, go ahead and post those. And until next week, each of you are a gift. Get out there and share yourself with the world.